Thank you for tuning in today, and we appreciate you, and we want to bring a teaching to you today. And let's pray and invite God to just anoint on this end and on your end too. Lord, let this be an anointing that's anointed from my lips, and Lord, let it be carried to the ears and hearts and spirits of those that receive it, and let it be anointed in their spirits. God, grant this, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We want to do a teaching today on the thought of being fully persuaded, and here we're going to cover some scriptures on that subject, and then the promises of God. The promises of God is what makes us to know that we can be fully persuaded that he's able. Now, we want to look first of all in the book of Romans, and in the fourth chapter, looking in verse 20 and verse 21. Here it spoke of Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And here in verse 21, we get our thought. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. Here we find these words, being fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded that God was going to keep his word. He had promised that all the seed of righteousness would come through Isaac. And he had promised that. And he was faithful in that which he was going to keep his word. And Abraham believed it above all other things, even to the point in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and the heroes of faith, he was declared that he had to obey God, and knowing that God would have to raise him up because he had already spoken. So being fully persuaded, that's one of the greatest examples in the Word of God of somebody that was being fully persuaded in God. And if we get anywhere with God, we are going to have to be fully persuaded. Then we go to 2 Corinthians in the first chapter in verse 20 through 22. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God. Verse 22. Who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And truly, if we're going to get anywhere with God, we've got to be fully persuaded in our hearts, mind, and our soul. A double-minded man or a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So we have to be in that persuasion that God's word is right. We're going to follow it, and no turning back. We're going to walk with the Lord, and we're going to go with the Lord no matter what the fight is, no matter what the battle is, no matter what the trial is. We are going to go with the Lord. Now we look into 2 Peter in chapter 3 and in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but in long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is a key to it. God, he's not slack what he's promised to us. And he does not want not one person to be lost. He wants all men to come to repentance. And that repentance must be a continuous process. It's not just something that we do one time and then forget the rest of it. This is the danger of a lot of churches' teachings. They teach that you're exempt from sin once you've repented. And there's no truth in that. We're never exempt from sin. The sinner shall die according to the word of God. The blood is applied. And yes, theoretically, the blood for all past sins, present and future sins. But those future sins are only forgiven and cleansed as we remit them. He said, little children, I wish you said not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. We have got to come to him for that cleansing power. And, you know, some people twist the scripture to justify them in their sins. And I said this and I say it again. Most preachers that are preaching that if you're saved, you can keep on sinning, they're living in sin themselves. They've never come to the knowledge of the truth, and they're not truly born again, and they're justifying themselves, and they take it to the pulpit and preach it. I told a preacher the other day that he told me he believed that. I said, well, you're ignorant of God's word and really too ignorant to be in the pulpit. And that's plain, but that's the truth. Anybody that would preach from God's word and tell somebody, they can go ahead and sin, they're justified, they've already been pre-forgiven. Yes, the blood has been applied, and the price for that sin has been paid, but you have to follow the entire fullness of the scripture. You can't just justify it. And that's plain, but that's still the word of God. I want to cover a bunch of scriptures, and I'm not going to take the time to read every one of these. I'm going to give you the thoughts of where they arrive from, and if you want to jot down, if you're where you can, some people may be driving or they not be able to do that, but if you are where that you can, jot them down and go back and read these, and it'll give you these understandings. First of all, we were promised a Savior. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6 through 7 tells us of the promise of a Savior. Matthew 1 and verse 20 and 23 tells us of that Savior that came. And the Bible said that he would, he would save his people from their sins. And that's the key to this thing. He came and died that you and I might be saved. And that is a very important verse, and it lets us know that he is the Savior. And that she was conceived, and in verse 21, I will read that verse. In verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then he promised to go and be with us. Matthew 28 and 18 through 20. You know, he's going to be with us all the way according to the promise of God. Then the promise of divine preparation in John 14 and 1. And here he tells of how that he's went away to prepare a place, and that where he is, we're going to be also. That's covered in John in 14, the first four verses. And he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Then the word of God tells us in John 16 chapter in verse 7 through 16, the Spirit of God is promised us, and the Comforter is promised. Then Acts, in the first chapter, verse 4 through verse 8, it tells of how on the day of Pentecost, and he promised to them that they would receive power after that which the Holy Ghost had come upon them. Then in Luke 10 and 19, fulfillment of that power, the Holy Ghost given, and the power. Then in divine provisions he made for us, we look at Romans 16 and 20. And here we find these words, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This was where he was speaking to the Romans. And God has given us the power that we can step on Satan. We can step on that old serpent. And then in Isaiah in 54, chapter 54, and in verse 17, and this is a powerful verse here, it goes on to say, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, said the Lord. And then we come back to Luke, the 10th chapter, and in verse 19, and here it says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you." This helps us to be fully persuaded that we need to serve God. You know, there's no power that Satan has that can overtake a child of God. As long as we stay true in God, the Bible said, if we sin not, the wicked one toucheth us not. It's important that we keep ourselves purged by the blood of Jesus and we stay pure before the Lord. Then the Bible tells us that he's promised healing and deliverance. In Psalms 34, verse 19 and verse 20, it goes on to say, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." That's verse 19. And then in verse 20, "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." When we look and see all the things that God has promised and the things he has for the believer, just in this life alone, even to that point where he promised victory, and he promises victory for the overcomers. And when we look at those things, it makes us more determined and more to say, I'm fully persuaded there's no turning back. We find in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, looking at verse 24 through verse 27, "And then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put down all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are under him, it is manifested that he is accepted which did put all things under him." That's the reason he can say that all power in heaven and earth is given in his name. Then we look in 1 John. In 1 John we go to chapter 5 and in verse 4. Here in verse 4 it states these words, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." In Revelation, the Word of God points out to us the promises that are directly made to the overcomer. In Revelations 2 and 7, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Then in 2 and 17, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth." Then in that same chapter, in verse 26, it says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." We're promised that we're going to rule and reign with him, and that's a promise of the word. Then in Revelations in the third chapter, in verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before the Father and before the angels." Time gets away from us today on this teaching, but I got to stop and say something about this verse here. It says, "I will not blot his name out of the book of life." Think about that. To those people that say that God, once he saves you, you're unconditionally saved, no matter how much sin you do. Here he says, "I will not blot your name out of the book of life." According to Revelation 20, there is going to be a number that's going to be blotted out of the book. That's those that's backslid and those that's not kept the faith in God. So let's move on now into the Revelations in the 3rd chapter in verse 12. Him that overcometh I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Then Revelations in same chapter 3, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. These are the promises. And then in Revelations 21 and 7, it puts kind of the icing on the cake. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. My friend, you want to be fully persuaded. You want to be an overcomer, and you want to be in line for these precious promises the Lord has. So today, bow your head with me and say, Lord Jesus, I accept your plan. I accept your blood that was shed for me. And Lord, I receive all that you have for me. Grant it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, reclaim that backslider. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, heal to the uttermost and give victory to all those that call upon your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Until our next teaching, may God bless you.